Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Paranormal Talk with Ricky. I'm your host with the Paranormal Truth Seekers. Thanks for listening in as we start tonight's podcast. Let us begin. Thanks for listening. All right, guys, this is Ricky, and tonight I have Lisa with me as my guest. Hey, Lisa, can you hear me?
I can hear you fine. Before was crazy. I called when I called in. I swear to you, it was like this. It was like this. It was like, whoa. I'm like, what the hell is going on?
Well, that's
on?
Weird. I heard that too. I heard it too.
You did hear it. I was what the hell, the ghost box?
That's what it sounded like. Then, actually. Yeah.
Oh my god. It did. It did. I figured, with our topic, the spirits are going to come in here. I'm sorry. I'm outside. There's fireworks. Hold on.
No, you're fine.
The one time I needed to be quiet. Yeah,
no,
but
you're
really nice up, but. Okay, so hi. How are you doing tonight, Ricky?
Pretty good. This is our second episode, and you're my first guest on our live stream here.
Okay. So, does that mean I have to explain who I am?
Yeah, we want to give our audience a little background on who you are. Go for it.
Okay. I am Lisa Terrio. I'm the founder of Pennsylvania Underground Paranormal Society, and I am a historic researcher. I love historic restoration. Also, like to work with nonprofits, you know what I mean, to help restore history. I'm also a musician, a mother, which would all of those things drive me crazy. But anyway,
lots of talent.
And I'm part of your group also.
Yes, you are.
All right, the Paranormal Truth Seekers of the Pacific Northwest. So I'm in Pennsylvania for now. Okay,
for now.
And you're in Georgia for
now.
Okay. Anyway, and that's about it. I've been investigating for. Wait a minute. My first investigation in the paranormal field was 1999.
Mm-hmm.
I went to a haunted Pineapple Hill bed and breakfast and spent the weekend in the haunted room on purpose. And I'll tell you what, it was my first experience for an investigation. But otherwise than that, I was led to the paranormal because I've experienced it my whole life.
Okay, definitely interesting.
And I run, I also... I'm an avid researcher in ITC communication, which is like, a.k.a. I have the Frank's box, but you say the spirit box, the ghost box, the Steve's box, whatever box that comes out. You know what I mean? Like the PSP7, whichever ones. I've done them all. So that's my field of research is EVP. So I'm an audio tech.
That's a very good talent to have. And for those who don't know what a spirit box is, let's give us some information on that.
Okay, well, the spirit box that you hear on Ghost Adventures, you know, that the one that radio, FM, I'm going to have to go inside and hide in the bathroom. All right, look, the spirit box is was created originally by, the original one was made by Frank Sumption, who was a very good friend of mine. He passed away in 2014, and I will never forget him. He is the grandfather of all ghost boxes. Okay, he is... The one who created it, he put his schematics up and everything. What he did was, his story, I'm going to tell you, well, he was a sergeant in the United States Army, okay, and he worked with sending the signals up into space. You know, that was his job through the Army. All right, but I can't go into all Army details because I'm not crazy. Like, you know, I don't know.
Right.
I can't word it right. His son had passed away, and he had got the idea from his own son that had passed away. God rest his soul, Frank Jr., on how to devise a way to use those radio signals to communicate with beings. I mean, it really started with Tesla, I believe, you know, Nikola Tesla, with his ideas.
Yes.
All right.
He knew some stuff.
And And so Frank knew that. And he developed, I'll tell you, nothing is like his boxes, a way to communicate. And with the other side, a.k.a. whatever they are, whether it's extraterrestrial, you know what I mean, or extra dimensional. Or,
exactly,
you know what I mean,
right.
Or people have passed on, to use it through the bites of it. Like it's hard to explain because I'm not a box builder. I'm just a box listener. All right.
Right.
But when he first created the box, okay, you know what I mean? It was his son communicating through the box that got him, and that's why he started building. And when he started building, he put schematics up I mean, I can't build, so I'm not going to sit here and pretend I can. All right.
Oh, same here.
All right. But he did. He built 100, and I have box 176, and he, I think, built 178, and that was it before he passed away. All right. Mm. But those boxes, all in all, have gotten me communication with the other side to the point of, but it's not for, I'm going to say this specifically, it really doesn't seem to work with me per se for ghost hunting.
Right.
Okay. I've noticed that when I am at a location, usually whatever comes through is for the either at the location, if it's a historic location, then not. Yeah. Okay. I can talk to whatever's there. All right. But like, it mainly comes through if we're at an event or something like that. We're hosting. It would come through for people that are actually in the room that I've never met in my life. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like
yes.
I'd be sitting there, and all of a sudden. So it's the thing you see on Ghost Adventures, except in a very advanced model that I have because Frank built it. Okay.
Right, and
so we've had, and I don't know if she's going to be listening, but I'm not going to say names. We had an event where I knew the mom, but I didn't know the daughter. And a person came through and kept saying they were sorry, it's sorry. And we were at a historic location thinking we're getting the spirits of the location. But it turned out it was her friend. All right, I look over, and there's a person crying.
Oh, wow.
Because they're saying they're sorry for what they did. And I'm standing there trying to figure it out, and Dawn's like, what's going on? I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I'm just standing here. And it turned out it was her friend that had committed suicide.
Oh,
he had
man.
Come back, and this was in front of, I don't know, 25 people. He had come back to tell her, okay, that he was sorry, that he should not have done it, and that he loved her.
Was it his
and
voice
that was
recognized?
Pretty much a very... the voice was unbelievably recognizable. My spirit guide brought him through.
Okay, gotcha.
I have a spirit guide. I've had a spirit guide since I was born. I mean, I used to see him when he was little. When he was little, yeah, actually he was. He grew with me. As I grew, he grew. Do you understand what I mean? Like, he seemed to appear to me at every level. All right. But that's who I work with now on the box. It's just it took me so long to figure out that that's who that was. I never knew his real name, so I made up names for him. You get it? I didn't know his real name until I used the box. Okay? But that's what I do. That's basically what I do. That and EVP work. You know what I mean? Like analyzing EVPs and stuff like that. But
yes.
As for the box, it's really, I have to say, I mean, I know I see it on Ghost Adventures, and you see it all on the other shows, and they're hearing. Half of the time, I've got to be honest with you, half of the time, when I'm hearing what they're hearing, I'm like, that ain't what that's like.
It's perception,
I've been doing
it
for so long. All right? Like, I don't know if you've experienced, you've used the box, right?
A little bit. I'm still learning myself, though.
Yeah,
I have one.
Yeah, okay. It's like something that me and Dawn, my shout out to Dawn. We did so many experiments with it, with the box, with the regular, the PSV7, I mean, and the detuned, and then we got the Frank's box, so pretty much everything else went whoop, you know, in the corner. But we've done it through amplifiers, like taking it to different locations. We decided to try for our own head, taking the box with us everywhere to see if we still got Walter, my spirit guide.
Right.
Okay, well, Walter appeared in Boston, Massachusetts, Salem, Massachusetts, Ohio, Kentucky, West Virginia. You see what I'm saying? No matter where we go, it's still the same person, same voice, same everything. So we did an experiment. We actually took it everywhere just to make sure, hey, you know what I mean? We're debunkers. We're gonna try.
Exactly.
Like all over Jersey, Pennsylvania, New York, no matter where we went, from New York all the way down to the furthest would be Kentucky, I think, that we took it to. And Lake Erie. We went all the way up by the Lake Erie. So we did go pretty far.
Okay,
you know?
So you knew it was the same person.
Oh, it's the same person. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And we actually helped it. They actually helped us quite a bit of a few years back ago because we didn't know somebody was doing something bad. And it actually told us. And that's how we found out. Yeah. Yep.
Wow.
Because they were warning us. Yeah, oh, no, it's crazy. It's crazy. But, I mean, so when it comes to the box, it's a very, how do I put it? A lot of people say, oh, that's just radio. But, no, you know what I mean? Because radio don't curse. All right, when you're playing the radio, and I can't, can I curse on here like our radio show?
Actually, I'm not sure. I think we're considered public, but you might censor it.
I don't know. Well, I'll just use the F word. Anyway, I'll just say F word. It said
okay,
something about a sociopath that we know, and it said, I believe he has to hide from the feds, and then it said that he has a fucking, he had an effing.
You're fine.
You know, you understand, like, never let you get what, you, it was a long, it's a long story, but we actually, it actually helped us. It actually helped us. All right, like, with it.
Wow.
But otherwise than that, the paranormal's been my entire life, pretty much.
Same here. I love it.
Yep. So, I don't know. I mean, I love history, so I definitely am a researcher. I could I'm a good historic researcher. I did a lot of research for Fort Mifflin. All right, for Selma Mansion. I've done it, you know, through the people that lived there, the family lines, everything. So that's
so
another one of my passions.
Lots of experience under your belt.
What is your views on that? History, okay, when you do an investigation, because you do homes, right?
Homes, restaurants, businesses, you name it.
Okay, so you're like basically pretty much everything where I usually, my group always did mostly like 90%, except for maybe a couple homes, historic locations. So how do you feel about research? Yeah, and I just love history, so it makes it even better. But when you do it, do you research everything about the location?
I do as much as I can find. We do have people in our group that also are dedicated to doing the research part.
Oh, it's fantastic. I love it.
Oh, yeah.
And you do historic research. And then when you get down to the history, it's pretty intense.
Oh, definitely.
You know, because if you do EVP and you're at a restaurant, let's say it was owned by somebody or it was land before that and you come across the name, it's pretty verifying.
Exactly. It's crazy how that works out.
Yeah, it does. You know, otherwise than that, how's life in Georgia?
Pretty typical, working, coming home, doing my radio show when I can on Saturday nights. And I tell you what, though, we're getting lots of bad storms on a daily basis now. Worse than I remember. It's crazy.
Dude,
I mean, bad
seriously,
storms.
This was the first break in heat we got up here. I wanted to, like, die for the past couple of weeks. It was deathly hot.
It's horrible.
Like, I have never in my lifetime felt it like this.
All over.
Yeah. What do you think about that? Like, what's your opinion on? Because I just read, I didn't want to say it, but I just read that, like, a whole bunch of fish are found dead. And I'm like, oh, come on, man. Yeah. I didn't even want to think about, like, dead fish washing up on the shore, you know?
But it happens.
Yeah. It's bad. But it's some kind of container. And then the pipeline burst in, this makes me so sad, Wyoming. 45,000 gallons of oil just spilled in the middle of Wyoming.
That's horrible. And it happens where we know, too. That's the sad part.
I know that. And the fact of the matter is, like, we're sitting here. What is your take on that? Like, my take on it is, like, do you think the paranormal activity is increasing because of this? I want to ask you that question. I got to find it because I do.
Yes. Short answer, yes.
Okay. Okay.
And I have theories on that.
You think so? Tell me. I want to know because I'll tell you mine.
Well, it came to me years ago. I wrote a blog about it, and my theory is that the veil between our world and that world is thinning to the point where eventually it's going to disappear. And, you know, when two realities collide, crazy stuff's going to happen.
Yep. No doubt. The veil, well, that's always been said that the veil is thinning. You know what I mean? Dimensionally wise. I mean, it could be, my analogy is I feel like time is going backwards and forwards at the same time.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
Like the more we go forwards, the more we, like, almost like the end of the beginning of the end. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, I don't know, like a cycle, I guess. I don't know. Well, maybe that's
like
my only crazy,
history,
my own crazy head.
Like history repeating itself to me, kind of.
Yeah, like kind of the whole world. Like, it, you know what I mean? Like, will repeat itself. Like the whole, like, time going backwards. And I can't explain what I'm trying to say because I'm not a scientist or anything like that, but it feels like, you know, like we're going back to the beginning.
Or
like, when, you know what I mean? Or, yeah, approaching the beginning or the beginning of the end of the end of the beginning, whichever you want to say. But it does feel that way with the way, you know, with the way this moon is beautiful, but the way the weather, weather has, all right, but we know that it's human's fault on the, on much of it. So with the pollution and contamination, it just amped up the global warming. You know what I mean? Because global warming is a natural occurrence. So we can't escape that. But the climate, we did. And what do you think about, I was talking to somebody today about the energy vibes that are going out. You know, like a lot of us are like love, we want the world to be good, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Have everything good, like with music and happiness. And then you got the people that really want to bring on the end of the world. Do you think that the energy between those two different types of people, if energy transforms and goes places, I mean, it's got to go somewhere, right? Do you think that has an effect on it?
It has.
The energy.
The two energies are manifesting and are colliding, and there's got to be balance. You know?
Right.
It has to go somewhere.
And that's, yes, exactly. So maybe that's part of the turmoil making it worse, too, is what I'm thinking. Because, I mean, like, besides the fact we're physically doing it, you know what I mean, with poison and pollution and, you know what I mean, water
and
that you can't drink and shit.
That's speeding it up.
Yeah. That's when I, like, yahoo, I'm like, no, hello.
Mm-hmm.
We need peace. We need love. We need to, like, create a world that our kids can live in. Know what I'm saying?
It's coming if you follow the whole ascension and all that.
Oh, I know.
Like the planet itself is ascending and the beings who are already on the planet can ascend with the planet and to what they say is the fifth dimension, which is a higher level vibrational state.
Yep.
And I believe that's happening too.
I believe that. I believe in it. I believe in the fifth dimension. I definitely do. I believe that. I'm kind of wishing like aliens would come down here and fix this shit. Because really,
I'm with you there.
Look. I remember what Frank told me. Frank Sumption.
Mm-hmm.
He told me. He said they're going to come back.
Oh, they. Yeah,
they're,
fix they're
it.
Going to.
And the more I think about it is I wonder, because so far everything he said has been right, you know what I mean? And I wonder if you know what I mean, if we'll get to actually see this.
It
because have you
lifetime.
Seen UFOs, right? Have you seen UFOs?
Yeah. I've got a video of them.
Okay. Yep, I've seen, but the one that I've seen, I can't even, look, the one that I've seen, we're in the middle of a Burger King parking lot. Dude, that thing stopped over our head and didn't leave for 10 minutes. It changed what it looked like three times.
Tell us more about that.
All right. So, anyway, one sociopath was coming to pick me up because I was checking somebody in at Selma, but he had my son, all right, in the car with his friend. So, this is the weird thing. When they got me to drop off his friend, my son was shocking everything he touched. And I was like, cut it out. You know what I mean? I was like, what are you doing? He didn't. I don't know why.
Mm.
So we went over to Burger King to pick his. Yeah, like completely everything. He wasn't rubbing his feet or nothing. He was everything goes static. So then and I'm giggling the whole time because it was funny. And then we go to Burger King to pick up his sister who was working at Burger King. So I don't eat I don't eat that. So I went out to sit in the car. Right. And then all of a sudden, I'm out there, I'm on my phone, and my daughter, Jay, comes, and she opens the door. She's like, Mom, you need to step out the car for a minute. You need to come out here now. What? Right? It's like, okay. I get out, and one sociopath is jumping up and down. What the hell is that? What the hell is that? And then Mikey's going, woo-hoo! And I look up, and they look like a plane on fire coming towards us. But then as it got closer, it changed its appearance to look more like a comet with a tail. You understand? And I'm standing there going, oh, shit. All right. And then it stopped. Literally, so we got a sociopath with his hands over his head going, no, it's going to fall on my head. And then I'm just standing there like going, oh, my God, look at this. And Mikey's like, woo, and Jade's texting, rapidly texting and just staring at it, you know. And it stopped over our head. And when it stopped, and now it was right above the tree line. I don't know how many feet. I would say maybe, I don't know, a couple hundred. You know what I mean? At least
so pretty close.
Over the tree line. Right. Close enough where I could get a good view and got great pictures. I said, decided not to take a video and decided to take photos. You know what I mean? Because I was like, I'm going to get this. So I did take photos. But it just stopped. But then it dropped some kind of field that was around it. And I've never seen anything like it. So it looked like a plane on fire, which looks like something like on fire, you know, like on fire. Then it looked like a comet with a tail. And then when it stopped, it dropped what it looked like. And it looked, you could see whatever was inside it, but it had a glow around it. So I can't tell you if it was a V shape or a U. You understand what I mean? Because it was inside it, but it kind of had that V-ish kind of shape, but it, like with soft
petals.
You understand what I mean?
A boomerang.
And it just stayed there above our heads for like 10 minutes. Mikey was screaming, "Woo! It's my first UFO!" And I'm like, "Oh shit, this is great!" Jade's texting, "I'm gonna go." All right, like she's backing up slowly, ready to go to 7-Eleven at this point. And and then all of a sudden, after we stared at, now mind you, we're in the middle of a public road at Burger King parking lot. I don't know why nobody else came out and stood there with us, or they didn't. They ran. I have no idea. All right, I mean, this is the middle of a main road with, like, in the center of with the two main roads on either side, so there was cars everywhere. So it starts to move away, and Mikey went running after it. He's like, I don't know why he said this. He went, "Guaca." I have no idea why. He just said, "Don't go, Guaca." I have no idea why. And it stopped a second time. All right. And that's when I grabbed Mikey's hand, and Jade said, "I'm going to 7-Eleven," and backed up while she was texting. Poof, she was gone. All right.
Mm-hmm.
But then after it stopped there, on top of there, for like, I guess maybe another minute or so, it totally went upward. So it went past, like, it was above, like, the power lines and stuff to begin with, but it went up a little further, and it started to go off slow, then just stopped, and it shot right up. I can't even, there is no, yeah. Photos, I'll have to send them to you, to share them.
Yeah, I definitely want to see those.
Yeah, I called Frank, and Frank reported it immediately. When I got home, I called him on the phone, and he reported it.
Did you get any feedback from that?
Yeah, I had black helicopters who came over my house 3 days later.
Oh, jeez.
He told me it was going to happen. Frank told me. He's like, just don't be afraid when the black helicopter shows up. And I think, no, he's crazy. No black helicopter is going to show up, right? But I was in my room. I was in my room with my son. Jet black. No, you couldn't see in the windows at all. Everything was tinted. It was complete black.
Yes.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
So I hear, bup, 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 and I open my window, and Mike, I'm like, "Mikey, oh, my God." It's hovering across the street above the house facing our house. So me and Mikey did the proper thing and opened the window and waved.
Why not?
All right, no. But he told me it was going to happen, and it did. So he said it's normal for that to happen because there was a sighting. You understand what I mean? Like, it's not like these people are trying to kill you or anything. Like, this is normal. That's what he told me, I guess. But it really did happen, which shocked me.
Yeah, the government knows that they're out there.
Yeah. I mean, come on. They have to take, reports, completely, right? I tried to report it to MUFON myself. Guess what? Couldn't do
What's
it.
That?
It would not. If every time I tried to report my UFO sighting to MUFON, it wouldn't let me.
Huh.
It did. I couldn't. Yeah. I couldn't. But it happened. I have pictures.
Wow. That's incredible.
But it was profound. When I got home, I picked up the phone to call Dawn. Check this out. I'm like, "Oh, my God, Dawn." She goes, "If you tell me you saw a UFO, I swear to God." I was like, "What?" Her kids and her ex were at a park, and it flew past them. The same thing we saw.
The UFO.
Isn't that
or
crazy?
Helicopter?
The UFO. Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. Which makes
sense.
Lots
of eyewitnesses.
Coming. Oh, we have, I have me and my son, my daughter, you know. I mean, we all witnessed it. I don't know how many people saw it from Burger King, because I can't. I was too busy staring up instead of around me.
Yeah. So how are you doing this?
But that was it was crazy. But it kind of changed everything. I think the whole perspective changed everything. That was then, okay? And then that was June 7th or June 8th, wait. June 7th, 2014. Frank passed away August 16th, 2014. And then me and Dawn were propelled to Don't Ask About That One. That was when Dawn and I took the trip to Kentucky and came back through West Virginia and faced the meteor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That was even crazier. But it all happened in a very short amount of time. Mm-hmm.
Right. Definitely very good experiences to have.
And being that I like science and stuff like that, Yes, there was a meteor in September. September 16th, to be exact, at 11:01. Mm-hmm. Well, 10:58 it started. To about, I don't know, just 10:58 was my last login on my phone. It was registered. It was a registered meteor that showed up out of nowhere, flew over Jersey and PA, went in and got lost somewhere in West Virginia, and flew back into space, from what the NASA and them say. Yeah, we were in West Virginia when it happened, on the top of the tallest mountain. It was pretty profound. But nobody likes...
Sounds like it.
No, everybody, like, you got two girls alone. Imagine this. So what do you think about all this? Do you think it's all connected to, like, what have you seen? What have you seen that would compare, like, you know what I mean? When you got that video, when you were outside, you know that wasn't normal and wasn't, you know what
oh,
I mean?
Because
I've watched the video. What did you feel when you were out there?
It was, felt like a gift. Like, I was meant to see it because I just happened to go outside when they appeared. At that moment, mm-hmm. you know, so it's like I was meant to see them. You're like a confirmation.
I know.
But I've seen them before, too, but not in that format. But
How many?
Oh, there must have been at least five of them that came and went at a time. And then mm-hmm. there was always at least three at a time, but one would come in, one would fade out, and another one would come in. But there was always at least three visible at all times.
Yeah.
Until
that
the
was
last
trippy.
One.
I've seen the video. How many times before in your life have you seen them?
Let's see. Well, the very first experience, memory I have, I want to call it a memory, and this
right.
is kind of hard to describe, but follow me the best you can. I don't remember the moment before or after, just that moment. I must have been
okay, gotcha.
4 or 5 years old. I'm standing on a porch outside.
Okay.
I'm looking down because you got to walk down the stairs to get to the yard. My mom and dad had the grill out. They're just standing there. And when I look up, right above my head, I feel like I could reach up and touch it, was the bottom of, at the time I had no idea what it was. It must have been a ship. But I remember seeing these, like, details of, like, these lines and, like, lights on the bottom
I
of
understand.
It.
Right.
And that, but my parents didn't react to it. So it's like they didn't see it. And that's all I remember is that one moment. That's
and
my
that's
most
what,
earliest.
And that one thing of, so that was, you were young. I was young, too, when my...
Mm-hmm.
Actually my sister and her girlfriend were running down the street and they're screaming for my mom that a
mm-hmm.
UFO was following them home. And my
wow.
mom was too busy looking for the camera. And I was about 6, I think, at that time, or 7, maybe,
mm-hmm.
maybe. And I was told to stay in my room because, you know, I'm a kid. Stay in your room. You don't need to be here. And they're flipping out looking
yeah.
for the camera. All right, and I was looking out my window, but it turned out that the UFO I was looking at, they were too busy looking for the camera, and the big shining, this gigantic white light beam was in my face.
Hmm.
Okay, my mom never found her camera until it was too late and it was gone. And then they all yelled at me because
yeah.
I didn't come down and tell them after I was yelled at to stay in my room. Okay, basically that's what happened. But that
sounds
was my
first right.
one, too.
We
were
one,
young
it must have
then.
Been right above my head. I mean... We were living in a trailer at the time. It's like it could have fit the trailer. It was so low. It was like feet above me. I mean, within feet.
You often
it's
wonder
like,
if it's dimensional almost. You get what I mean? Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's my
or
first
Or it was like
memory.
You were in it, maybe. I mean, we
that
don't
could
know.
Be too.
We don't know what happened.
I want to get
mean, a lot
past
of people say that.
Though.
Yeah. A lot of people say with the UFO experiences, you know, how they lose time. You know what I mean? Like
yep.
hours of time or like things like
mm-hmm.
that, you know? But so you were too young to know that anyway. You wouldn't know if you
right.
lost time.
And I don't remember
you wouldn't.
Before or after.
Exactly. That's what's weird. And how many other times since then?
The next time we were visiting my aunt, she lives out in the country here in Georgia. Me and one of my cousins were outside. It was getting darker. It was just me and him out there. He was out in the backyard doing something. I was out in the front. And this is in the middle of nowhere. It's a huge open field all around. And all of a sudden he comes running around to the front of the house screaming, there's something out there. And like, what are you talking mm-hmm. about? So we go out there and look. And out there in the field, right above the tree line is this ship. And it has like
oh,
three
shit.
Or four lights across the side of it. Each light was a
oh,
different
wow.
color. We didn't see a light
like
on the sky.
Like a football
we saw,
one?
Yeah, I kind of like that, like your traditional saucer shape. But so we didn't see this like a light. We saw the actual ship. There was no sound or nothing. It was just there. Of course, we freak out and run in the house. That's the last time I remember seeing that.
Oh my God! How did you? That was crazy then, right? So that, how old were you at the second one?
That must have been.
How old were you?
Maybe 10 or 11, if that. Early teens, you know, preteens.
Oh wow!
Like, I didn't I wish I would have.
No, I was 14. I was 15, actually. I was 15, and I was stoned. I'm going to put that out here. I was smoking weed. With my best friend, Annie. We were sitting on, God rest her soul, I miss her so much, she passed away. All right, we're on the porch. I know, she's my Annie. And my childhood friend, I mean, like, growing up, you know what I mean? And we're on the porch, and we're stoned, and we're, like, staring, because I live by all these chemical plants, and, you know, I hate to say it, and oil refineries, because I grew up in Perth Amboy, New Jersey.
Right.
And we're sitting there, and we see this football-shaped UFO. It was definitely a UFO, with lights that were, like, at the base of it, right? And they kind of, like, were going, like, around, and we're just sitting there, and we're like, what the hell is that? Because we're like, duh, you know what I mean? What is that?
Right.
And we're like, what's going on there? And we're like, holy shit. And all of a sudden, all the neighbors start running out of the house, and then we realized what we were looking at, and it wound up being in the paper the next day. It was an actual sighting. So that one I remember. That was all over the newspapers. That's pretty crazy. I mean, you know, UFO spotted over Perth Amboy. I'm like, oh, God. Yeah, but it was hovering over the chemical plant or whatever was back there, one of the oil refinery plants, which is common, right, from what they say.
I've heard that too.
Like certain
nuclear
areas.
Facilities. Yeah.
Yep. Like almost like they're watching, you know, like watching what you're doing.
Are.
I know. I kind of feel that too. That's the way I feel about it, too. I mean, and what do you think about the spirit? Like, I know we could talk to spirits that have passed. We know that. You have, right? I mean, we have.
Yep.
Talk to spirits that have passed. But sometimes, who else are we talking to? I mean, like, did you ever think about that?
All the time.
Like, my spirit guide, Walter. I never thought his name was Walter. I made a creative name. When I was little, his name was Ever Sit, because he ever forever sat in the corner of my room and talk to me. And my mom was cool with it, because I was raised in a very openly paranormal family, you know, so she used to ask me what Everett said that day, you know, and then when I got older, I called him Gary, because it was funny, and then when I hit my adulthood, I started calling him Elijah, but when I ran the ghost box, or the Frank's box, I should say, it was a Frank's box my first time, and I turned on the box the first time, and I said, who's here with us? It said, it's Walter. I'm like, who? Because it didn't make any sense to where I was. It made no sense to nothing. And about 2 years later into hearing Walter speak the entire time, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then literally he came out and he said, you used to call me Elijah. And I knew. I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
It was him the whole entire time. But I was like, your name is, this is me. BB and me, your name is Walter. I come up with these creative names, and his name, So his name is Walter. Walter has shown up at other people's investigations as well now. Even my cousin Fabian. Shout out to cousin Fabian, if you're listening. Yeah, he showed up for, I told him I was going to send Walter over with him, and he literally showed up. The first words out of his, whatever he was running, the equipment, it said Walter was the first thing that came out of the thing. Mm. Yeah. And they showed up in Ohio. I think it's some investigation. Yeah, so he gets around. And he showed up on my friend Wayne and Todd Wayne and Roni. He showed up on – they were doing a live ghost box, and I told Walter to go show up there. And he literally came through on their live ghost box. So it's kind of pretty cool.
That is cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I tell people, I don't do – people are like, how do you do it? I said, I don't do a damn thing. I just stand there. That's all it takes.
That's it.
But anyway,
like a medium.
So I wonder, like I wonder – I always ask Walter, what do you do? Because I want to know about the other side. We want to know what they do. You know, he says he works.
They work over there, definitely.
Yep.
They live like
we do. He works. I know when I met him, he was working with the prisoners at Fort Mifflin. also, like, I don't know, I have no idea what that means, but, like, you know what I mean? Like, I guess he works with the spirits. Does that make any sense to you?
Maybe lost souls.
I mean, I've heard
of
a couple. One time at Selma, there was like eight of us, and this woman, we had the box on, and the woman was coming out of it saying that she was having, oh my God, it was horrifying, that she was pregnant and dying in a bathtub after they took her baby or something, right? And we're sitting there going, oh shit, a lady we call Debbie, we call her the singing lady because her voice, she goes, Walter, I'm not lying, it's true. She goes, Walter, she goes, and she tells the lady, go with Walter, he'll take you home. And all of a sudden, like Walter comes on, and then we don't hear him for like, I don't know, like 20 minutes in our time.
Mm-hmm.
And then we asked what happened, and he said they took her home.
Now, where is home? That's the question.
Yeah, that's what I – wait, you're going to laugh. When I ask them where they are, you know what the answer always is? Right here.
Yep.
Right here. One time I was one time Dawn and I, because I have William and Walter. So one time Dawn was – we were at Selma, and Dawn and this other chick, Jen, were there and me. It was just the three of us, and I heard somebody say, I'm here. So I was like, William, because I recognize the voice, right? And I'm like looking around, William, are you here? So I walk in the other room, and they had the recorders all on the floor, and it was Dawn and her sitting across from each other on the third floor of four, and both of them literally physically heard, I'm here, and they're here. Their hair flew up.
Oh,
and
wow.
Dawn jumped up, and I didn't hear it. Listen to this. I'm in the other room looking for William. I didn't hear that time.
Mm-hmm.
But they did, and their hair blew back even.
Wow.
And Dawn was like, I remember Dawn sliding up the wall. That's okay. I'm out of here. I'm done. She was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Yeah, but we picked it up on all of the recorders.
Wow.
That we had stationed in the place. Yeah. All on the third floor. We picked it all up. And we also got the one that I heard prior that they did not hear.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever you ask them where they are, they say, I'm here. So what does that tell you?
Well, it depends on what they mean in frame of reference. Do they mean they're here talking to you in the moment, or are they actually living here?
When I say, where are you, they say, I'm here. Yeah, mm-hmm. Right here. Right here.
Well, Earth has
here.
Multiple dimensions, different frequencies.
That's what I'm guessing. Mm-hmm.
And the higher like radio stations, you have to vibrate at a faster frequency. That's where they are.
Right, that's what I'm guessing. Like, I mean, could there be an invisible thing we can't see?
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like I don't know. I mean, I don't see much. I mean, I've seen a couple things. You know what I mean? But I don't see as much. You know, like I'm good with the hearing type of aspect, but like, you know what I mean? But like, if you see a quick glimpse of something, is that because the dimensions have crossed?
Or you just picked up on it somehow?
Yeah, it's just really weird. I mean, I don't know. Like, one time I was in Casemate 11 because I did a lot of research at Fort Mifflin for William Howe, and the one that wrongfully executed there. And I was spent 269 hours alone in the casemate, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not lying. Like, doing my EVPs, you know what I mean, and trying to figure it. But one time I was behind the casemate. There's a back wall, and then it's all stone. It's underground. So it's like built, I mean, it was 1771, so you're dealing with this. And I was looking out the window, and Mikey was across, and my teammate at the time, Katie, and they both jumped because they saw William behind me smiling.
Oh, wow. Let me see a smile.
All right, but I didn't see him, okay? I didn't see him because I was, maybe because I was facing them, but he was right behind me. They saw his face.
Wow. Was it clear as day?
Clear as day. No, he's not a ghost. And people think he's a ghost, and they go to Fort Mifflin and they try to harass him. He's not a ghost. He's not at the fort. He goes back to the fort. He'll talk to anybody that comes in contact with him, but he is definitely spirit level.
Okay.
You know?
Gotcha.
All right.
Now for the
like,
audience. For the people listening, how would you determine a ghost versus a spirit?
Well, I know he looks normal, number one, because I've got pictures of him. I don't want to say that publicly, but I'll let it out now, but since it's your radio show. William Howe, I've got a picture of him in 1862, and I've got a picture of him in 2018 in my lawn in Perkiomer.
He looks like a regular person when you get the picture.
He looks just like he did in 1862.
Wow.
Yep. Yeah.
So,
I mean, identical.
So a spirit. Sorry to interrupt. So a spirit basically.
But he was also
raised
off the ground. He was in the picture.
Wow.
I got him. His feet were not on the ground.
So he
was raised at least 3 feet above the ground.
3 feet. I've heard that before. Yeah.
And I thought of that, too. I've heard that the same thing, but he was at least 3 feet above ground level holding onto a tree.
Well, they say in the spirit world that it exists 3 feet above our world, so it appears they're floating when actually they're not. That's what I've heard. I don't know if that's true or not. But
I mean, I imagine they could come down to ground level if they had to, but like, no,
right.
this was a specific picture where he looked identical to the 1862 version of himself.
Mm.
I mean, like totally... And he's just looking, and he's holding onto a tree. I don't know what trees have to do with anything, but that's, I only have two real ghost photos, I can call them, and they're both holding onto a tree.
There's a theory on that.
Yeah.
Trees could be omnipresent in multiple dimensions.
You know what? Nature? Right. I have no idea why. I mean, like, I wondered why, but, I mean, we know, yeah, you're right. And it's all natural, and it's connected to the earth. I mean, like, there could be a million different reasons. But, yeah, it's pretty crazy. When I think about it, it's crazy. But, like, I did so much research on William. Now, here's the thing. William H. Howe was executed at Fort Mifflin on August 26, 1864, wrongfully executed. The whole case was a sham. Okay? I will tell you that. All right?
Okay.
But after I did all the research on him, and then I'm doing my own ancestry, it turns out I am related to him.
Really?
How's that, Berkeley? Now, I didn't know this. I had no clue. I would never have known this if I didn't do my ancestry and run into, you get it, into the family and all that. But the fact of the matter is, when I got to Fort Mifflin and I did all the research with him, he kept telling me that I was family. I did not know.
What was it to you?
What do you mean? What is like, he's a cousin, I guess you can put it back. But
okay,
our families are totally connected. Yeah, but I didn't know I was even related to the families, both families, the one his son married and his family.
Wow.
Like
small
both
words.
Sides, yeah. Yep. It's like both sides of the family, which I was totally shocked in finding out. But yet again, he said we were family.
Hmm.
So I imagine that there's, a big connection to that. But, I mean, being that he's a spirit that's crossed over, I definitely – he'll talk to anybody that wants to talk to him. I know that. You know what I mean? Like, he goes – Walter, my other spirit guide, he goes back to Fort Albert. I don't know what he does at Fort Mifflin, but he goes to work there. I don't know what he does there. But he'll say he's
crossing
at
over experience, yeah.
I mean, it's a very haunted location. It is the most, but when I say haunted, I don't mean bad. You know what I'm saying? But the most paranormally active location I have ever been to in my life. And I spent years there, so I know. You know?
Wow.
And I don't know if it's the way it's laid out, the way it's shaped, seeing it's by the water. I don't know. You get what I mean? Because you got to go.
I definitely want to check it out, yeah.
You have to go there. But it is like the most active place
days.
That I've ever been to.
One of those days, I'm going to get out there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and it's just you walk through the doors. I noticed one thing when I get there. When I walk through those gates, I have no pain. Is that weird? I have no idea why. I have no idea why. Like, my joints don't ache or I don't, because I got Lyme disease, so it could really knock me on my ass once in a while. But
I'm sure, yeah.
Yep.
It's got to be the energy or something.
We've also seen quite a bit of crazy shit there. Like,
I'm sure,
literally.
Yeah.
No, like one of the casemate 4, 7 of us witnessed it turn into, this sounds like I'm nuts, but I'm not nuts because 7 people witnessed it, okay? Into what looked like space?
Like outer space?
Like, it looked like outer space. We walked straight into the casemate. It looked like pinpoint stars, you know, like stars and nebulas.
Oh, wow.
Right, like nebula type of thing. But everybody was like, who's the figure in front of you? And mind you, I don't see the figure. You get it? Mm-hmm. Me in my own eyes. I'm just putting my hand to see a blob, but I don't know what I'm looking at. So I'm reaching mm-hmm. my hand through it. But, yeah, like seven people witnessed it. We kept saying how beautiful it was. And then Dawn freaked out because she said, who's coming in and out of the casemate? She saw figures walking in and out. Almost like a portal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
right.
It's a portal.
And so when she freaked out, but see, beforehand, though, all the lights in the casemate 1-5 hallway went off one by one, and they're all on one circuit. That don't happen. So it went boof, boof,
yeah.
boof, boof, boof. And then when Dawn did freak out and she started freaking out and she really got nervous because she was seeing the figures and we're all going, it's beautiful. And she's going, oh. And then the lights popped back on one by one and everything went away.
Wow. It sounded like
okay,
a portal to
yeah.
me.
Yeah. And and then when we turned around to walk, though, we mm-hmm. almost tripped and fell because there was bunks, like slats from the bunks, the old bunks that go in the casemates. Across mm-hmm. the floor that we walked straight in and did not walk over. You,
so
now you see
them.
My point.
Yeah.
It was like they didn't even there. They weren't not even there at the time. And there were seven of us, so I know we're not crazy.
Oh, no, I believe it, yeah.
You know, yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. So this dimensional thing we just talked about, I believe it.
There's something
I mean,
to
is
it.
That a portal, do you think?
I think that's how they travel.
It was the weirdest shit I have ever seen in my entire life. I mean, well, no, not maybe close. Yeah, no, that was really weird because the way it transpired was really odd.
Yeah,
well,
I wish I had seen that. Wow.
Well, you might be able to if we go to the fort. You never know. I mean, it was literally beautiful. I can't even tell you. Everybody in that room wasn't, except Dawn when she started seeing figures, because that really freaked her out. It was absolutely, it was beautiful. It was like you were standing there and looking at the most beautiful colors and stars, you know? And it was a very beautiful experience to have. And my arms into the casemate before we went in, when it started, and everybody's like, what are you doing? Because I'm just real brave when it comes to things. So I put my arms in, and for 2 hours afterwards, my arms were tingling.
Wow.
So before we went in all the way, I had my arms in when it was first going, like I was reaching my arms in through the stone casemate. You know?
Did you feel empty space, or what did you feel?
Well, what I feel?
When you put your arm in it.
My
yeah.
arms felt like, I don't know, like everything was tingling. Just like this weird, like, tingle through my arm. And it didn't go away for 2 hours after the incident. Yep,
wow.
It did not go away. It felt felt cool and tingly. That's all I can say, you know? And But it was a very – and this is Fort Mifflin. I mean, like, you know, I mean, this is a place known for the screaming lady, which we've heard, and she screams. Okay. But, yes, she does, but she comes from outside. I have no idea what that is. And it's not a fox. Trust me. All right. you know, for soldiers walking and things like that and kids in the courtyard, this was a totally blown out, totally different experience that no one in the out of our crowd expected. You know?
Yeah, you're not expecting that, that's for sure.
Hell no. No, we were not. We were just running an investigation, you know, for the night. That's it. We were all there. Everybody's investigating. Everybody's chilling, having a great time. And I saw a shadow. That's what started the whole thing in the back of the casemate. And then Bree, God rest her soul, she was a psychic. God rest her soul, she came out. And she literally put her arm up. You know how you do with kids in a car and you're like, because when you don't want them to get hurt, you put your arm out. She did that with me. She's like, whoa, who are you? And I'm like, huh? Because I saw a shadow, but I don't see nothing else. And she's like, you want to show her something? You know her? And I'm like, that's probably Walter, deep in my head. You know what I mean? And she's like, is it okay with you? And I'm like, yeah. And then he said, they want to show us something. And we turned around, and that's when it started. And then
people
gathered. I imagine it was Walter. It was either Walter or Frank. Okay, because it was a year. It's one or the other. But Yeah, but she literally, she like stopped me like a mother would do in the car. No.
Yeah.
Or like literally said, and then she was like, "You want to show her something?" And God rest her soul, she passed away. But yeah, and that's as soon as it's that's when the pinpoints of light started, and that's what happened. The rest of it's what happened after, and after they heard us, everybody started coming out of the other casemate. They were in five, and they started coming over to see what was going on. Get it?
Mm-hmm.
So the crowd
yeah.
developed, and that's when we went in, and we all saw it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. when you all see it, that just validates it.
Yeah, there was, I think, seven of us. So it wasn't just, it wasn't, we were not stoned. We were not on drugs.
Right.
Okay? We were not drinking. We were completely 100% straight.
Right.
So when you got seven straight people seeing something like this, it's perfect.
That makes it real, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, like, I what the hell is that? Gunshots or fireworks? Playing the gunshots or fireworks game now.
I hope fireworks.
Yeah, I think it is. It's fireworks, I believe. I don't know why they're still setting them off.
Who knows?
Wait, I don't know. I can't tell around here. We used to play that during the 4th of July. Is
mm-hmm.
it gunshots or fireworks? I don't know. That's where I lived. But I lived on the other side where we really had to dodge both.
Yeah.
But now I'm on the west side, so it's not so bad. So what do you think about that? What do you think about the thing of, like, what we experienced at the fort? I mean, what was that?
It
could
sounds
it have been
like
a dimension?
It might have been showing you what's beyond the veil. You know, what do they see in the sky at night?
Well, it was beautiful.
Exactly. We have such limited senses as humans. We can only perceive so much. We're very limited.
It was like we were standing in space, okay?
Yeah.
Like everything around us was beautiful and nebulous and a figure that I kept putting my hand into, but I really couldn't see the figure. The other people saw the figure. You get it? I couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
They said it was a purple figure, which leans me to believe it might have been Frank.
Was purple his color or something?
Yeah, his nickname was the Purple Princess. Long story. But yeah,
it makes sense.
Yep, then it made sense to that, but I kept putting my hand. I didn't really, you know, I was only seeing, like I said, a blob. They were seeing a figure. I was seeing the blob, but it was just intense. It was pretty crazy. But that would make sense if you brought space along with them.
Yeah, because just imagine if we could see what was all out there beyond our limited eyesight.
It was absolutely beautiful. I can't even describe it. It was beautiful. You know, and then people probably think we're crazy, like all of us. You know, but a friend of mine, Rich Allen, shout out
mm-hmm.
to him. I don't know if he's listening, but he had wrote a beautiful, because he's a really good writer. He had wrote a beautiful whole paragraph about what happened,
mm-hmm.
like the next day, and it just stuck with me. It was the way he described it's better than what I'm saying right now, put it that way. You know?
Mm.
Do
you
have think
access to that?
Yep. But it was absolutely, it was gorgeous. So if we saw that, I mean, like, just think of the potential everywhere. Like, if there, I mean, is that a portal? I mean, like, is that what that would be considered?
Maybe a window. They were showing you something beyond, yeah.
Right. The area, I mean, like, I know the place is active to begin with, but the way it's set up next to the Delaware River, I mean, like, the builders of the place. I mean, it could be a combination of everything, you know,
mm-hmm.
but it is definitely the place. I mean, like, I really can't even describe what we saw. I mean, like, between that, the UFO and the meteor.
Well,
we're looking through
filters, but just imagine if you could look at the sky at night without any filters or limited vision.
Oh my God.
What's out there? Yeah.
The James Webb telescope that got all those pictures that we recently saw. Oh
mm-hmm.
my God, that's so beautiful. Like I'm outside now and I'm looking up because I know we're going to have a meteor shower tonight. So the Perseids meteor shower is going to peak tonight. So I'm outside trying to see if I can see anything, you know,
mm-hmm.
but still all the light pollution that we have on Earth, we can't really see the depth of the sky.
And even just that, our eyes can only see such a small percentage of the light spectrum. Yeah.
Oh, that's true. Oh, yeah. It's certain animals. See a lot.
Oh, no, we see this in very small fraction.
I know. Animals see more than we do, right?
They
so,
do, yes.
When it comes, like, especially like dogs, cats, actually, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dogs,
they see things we can't
but
see.
They see. Yeah. Because I know that they see things that I can't see. But I've known that. I knew that for my dogs. You know what I mean? They'd be
like
looking at
staring
something
off at something.
See.
Yep.
Yep, and staring or wagging their tail. I'm like, who the hell are you looking at?
All right, Lisa,
you know?
We're coming down to about four minutes left in our stream.
Are.
It's been the fast hour. That was a really fast hour.
I'm sorry. I probably talked chewed your ear off. But
that's
it's
great,
interesting.
Jamie.
I mean, I really, I wish we knew more. I wish we could find out more.
Yeah, that's good. We
you
do.
Know?
We're looking for answers, yeah.
Yeah, and then we got to do that. You guys got to get over to Fort Mifflin, though. I know that.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, like, definitely got to experience Fort Mifflin for its glory. For real. It's a magnificent, historically speaking, it's great.
Yeah.
It's
we'll
the only intact Revolutionary War fort in America. So.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. It's got a lot of history, but I'm going to let you go, and I'm going to go put my head down on a pillow and fall asleep. All right. No, I'm going to actually sit out here and watch a meteor shower for a little bit. Okay.
Well,
we
got to do this again. We got to do a part two.
Oh, yeah, and I mean, we didn't have no direction. We just bullshitted tonight, which was fine with me.
That's
you know
cool.
what
That's
I mean? But
me.
Anything in topic? Okay. All right,
fine.
Ricky.
Yeah, I'll do it.
All right. Okay, take care of yourself, and I will talk to you soon. And good night, everybody, and thank you for listening.
Thank you, Lisa,
okay?
for joining me. You have
All
a
right.
great night.
All right. All right, you too, Ricky. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, guys, so we got about 3 minutes. We're going to start wrapping up here. That was me talking with my friend Lisa and Terrio, who's also on the Facebook group. If you want to go ahead and drop by there and join us, find us on Facebook with the Paranormal Truth Seekers of the PNW. There's also Pacific Truth Seekers of Georgia. You can find me on YouTube. Paranormal Truth Seekers on YouTube. And, yeah, follow us, check us out, stay in touch, keep listening to upcoming episodes. We've got several episodes lined up. It's going to be great. I cannot wait to do more of these. I want to thank you all for listening once again. If you haven't already, while you're here, hit that follow button so we can hit that algorithm and more people can get exposed to our shows here. And I'm going to start wrapping up. This is Ricky with Paranormal Talk, and I'm with the Paranormal Truth Seekers. I want to give a shout out to all my group and friends and family, and I hope you guys are listening. If you haven't listened tonight, you can listen to the archived episode on the website. I'll be posting a link to that as well. Everybody have a great night, and thanks again for listening. See ya.